Also, hi, Dan.
Hi, Bradley.
Hi.
Thank you for praying. Thank you. Also, hi, everyone else. It's good to be here. Yeah, thank you. I'm so used to talking to high school students who are still talking really loudly at this point in time, so it's really cool to have people listening, or at the very least not talking. So thank you. But like Bradley said, my name is Dan Hopple, and I'm on staff here at Orchard Hill Church with the high school ministry Big House and also the worship team. So every once in a while, I get to be up here singing. But Basic is a really cool ministry to me because when I was going to college at UNI, this is where I spent my 4 years. Well, not here specifically. It was at Lang Hall back then, but Basic is really special. It's where I met a lot of my still current friends and where I met my wife, Abby, as well. I think, and I have a picture of, yep, that's us from this summer. That's Abby and our very attention-seeking dog, Tybee. But yeah, I love being here at Basic. So, like I said, a large part of my job is music. I'm part of the worship team here. So it's very fitting for me to like being a part of music and that full-time job because I enjoy music. I thankfully grew up in a family that loved music as well. My siblings and I did all sorts of stuff in school with choir and band. My parents were musical. So it's nice having a job that most of my week is focused on listening to music, playing music, planning for music. But my dad, in particular, loved to share his favorite music songs from when he was my age, when I was a high school age student, from like the 70s and 80s. So I not only got to do music in school, like band and choir, and not only did I get to listen to all the popular songs with my friends on the radio, but I also got to know bands like ABBA or the Eagles or Queen back when I was in high school and all my other friends didn't listen to them. Bands my dad loved. Now, when my siblings and I listen to some of these older songs that my dad used to love. Usually it was on a road trip. My dad wouldn't just play these songs and sing along or anything like that. He, like as I got older, would learn many dads are, like, loved to share all sorts of random little facts and tidbits that he knew as well about the band members or the dates that they were released or just weird things like that. And I remember one time we were on a road trip. There was a song played by a little-known band called the Beatles. It was called Hey Jude. And I asked my dad, I remember, who's Jude? Who's this girl that they're singing about? Is it like a love song or something? And I remember him smiling, not really looking at me, but as if he'd been waiting for this moment his whole life to impart this timeless knowledge of obscure musical facts. And he said that Jude wasn't some girl, and it's not a love song to this random lady. Jude is actually a little boy. My dad told me that Paul McCartney, who was basically this lead singer of the band The Beatles, right? He wrote this song as a kind of letter to his bandmate John Lennon's son, whose name was Julian. John Lennon, at this time that this song was written, was going through a really hard divorce with his wife and leaving his wife and son for someone else. It was really, really, really hard on his son, Julian. And so Paul, being a really close friend of the family, actually wrote this song with Julian in mind as a kind of song to comfort or encourage him through this tough time. And Julian, who Paul McCartney actually called Jules, was who this song is about. And initially, he actually wrote this song called Hey Jules, but he ended up later on changing it to Jude because he liked that more. And it kind of goes like this, and if you know it, please sing along. Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. My dad introduced me to some incredible music like Hey Jude, but what I loved the most about songs like that were all the little intricacies that he showed me. What, at the time, I thought were just fun little dad knowledge was actually really beautiful things that gave the songs meaning. And since that moment in the car with my dad, I've learned many songs and the funny, encouraging, sad, scary, and true meanings behind them that you don't truly understand by just listening to them or singing the words out. Like, Hey Jude wasn't just a love song to some girl, as I initially thought. It was a song about hardships and trials and about believing that you have the power within yourself to take a bad moment or a sad situation and make it better. And it's a great song, but when you take a closer look and learn the true meaning behind it, it becomes personal, something that you can relate to, and so much more than just a catchy tagline or tune. And I'd also probably wager a guess that many of us in this room right now, our favorite songs that are on the radio or anything like that, we probably don't really know the true story behind them either. I mean, we know all the words we listen to, and we just got our Spotify Wrapped recently, right? So we know the songs we listen to. but we probably don't know the story behind them or why the person who wrote it really thought that this song was important to them. And as I said earlier, a large part of my job is music. Specifically, it's worship music. So I'm well acquainted with a lot of the ins and outs of songs that we sing on Wednesdays here with Big House in High School, or Thursday nights and Sunday mornings. And it makes me think back to a time when I was younger going to church, when my mom was the only reason I really went, because she made me. And I would read the name of a song that we're singing in the morning and just read it and decide that, well, I guess that's what it's about. Like, I went to church and we had these thick green books called hymnals. Did anybody else have those if they went to a church growing up? Nice. All right, good. Not alone. And our pastor would call out in this, like, old, bored voice, turn the hymnal to page 634. And we'd all turn there and stand up together, and we'd sing this hymnal, and I'd read the name, like, Come Thou Fount. And I'd think, must be some holy fountain or something. Or Cornerstone. Well, guess we're singing about rocks and buildings. And I wish now, knowing what I know and this job that I'm a part of, I could go back to younger me and try to help him understand the depth that each of these songs have and how beautiful that they really are. Now, young me would still probably think they're incredibly boring, but maybe at least a little bit more meaningful. And worship music is so much more than just a way to get everyone to sing off key together. Worship music gives us an opportunity to talk to God, to praise him, to thank him for what he's done for us. And it helps us connect to scripture and who he is in our lives, whether we know it or not. So tonight, and even next week when Tim comes and talks, I feel like this series is really cool because it's going to help us maybe reframe a little bit the way that we look at the songs we sing here every week on a Thursday, to hopefully help us understand that while we sing worship songs, there's so much more within the words and music that can make the experience so much more impactful. And I want to take a song that we're all hopefully familiar with here at Basic, because we sing it a lot at Orchard, called Graves into Gardens. Just one specific song so we can really focus on this point I'm trying to make. And we're not going to pick it apart and look at every single line and talk about, well, this was written here and this was written here. I just want to focus on one song, because when I was younger, right, and I would sing at church, I would miss the entire point of songs. And so I really want to dive into the story behind this song, the message, like my dad did for me with Hey Jude, because when we can learn not only how to worship with a specific song, but why, it can open up so many brand new ways for us to encounter God. So, just so I can get a read of the room, I guess, how many people know, or at least, yeah, understand what the song Graves into Gardens is? Maybe we've even sang it. You know that one? Okay, quite a few people. I've been singing it for quite a while, but I just wanted to make sure that people are at least aware of it. We'll sing it later tonight, but I love this song personally, and because it has such a powerful message that encourages us to call it out over ourselves, a message that I have also personally found extremely impactful and important in different seasons of my life. It's a song that says, because of who God is and what he's done, because he sees us as beloved children, because of that, we can confidently praise and thank God, and that there is nothing better than him. And we know that that is what we sing about, and that it's true because of what we sing in that song. There are references in this song to scripture in the Bible, straight out of the Bible. And tonight, that's what I want to briefly talk about. Just two stories from the Bible that influence this song and the message behind it. And I feel like it can help us understand why we sing the truths and why we can sing them out confidently. So first, there's a slightly long and slightly confusing story from the book of Ezekiel in chapter 37, but because it paints such an important message to Graves into Gardens and what it sings about, I'll give you like a condensed version. I mean, if you have like a U Bible app or a Bible, you can try to follow along, but I'll condense it a little bit to keep it shorter. So in Ezekiel chapter 37, it tells the story of the people of Israel, who were God's chosen people. And it was during a time where they were held captive by the Empire of Babylon as slaves. And their homelands had been destroyed. The temples were burned. They were scattered across the entire empire, not knowing any of them around because all their family members were spread out too. And they were lost with hope, and the future is bleak. And it was at this time that God sent a vision to a prophet named Ezekiel. And in this vision, or dream, Ezekiel found himself in the middle of an isolated desert valley. And around him were bones scattered everywhere. And as the Lord was leading Ezekiel through this valley, God asked him, can these bones live again, Ezekiel? To which Ezekiel responded, only you can know the answer to that, Lord. And then God told Ezekiel to speak a message of prophecy over the dry bones that surrounded him, saying, "Dry bones, listen to the words of the Lord. I will put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and skin onto you, and you will return to life. And then, when you have new life, you will know that I am the Lord." And so in this vision and dream, Ezekiel said these things to the bones, and as he said the words, a great rattling sound came over the bones, and they slowly came together. And as Ezekiel watched, he began to see muscles and skin grow over the bones, forming bodies. But he noticed that there was no breath, no life in the dead bodies. And God commanded him again, saying, "Speak, come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again." And as Ezekiel again spoke these words, the wind blew and filled the bodies with breath and new life. And before Ezekiel knew it, he was standing in the same valley surrounded by an army of living people. And now this story in this chapter ends with God explaining to Ezekiel in this dream that the bones represent the people of Israel, dried up, out of hope, scattered as far as you can see. And he told Ezekiel to prophesy one more time, but this time to the people of Israel. And he was to say, "Oh, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to rise. I will bring you back from captivity and back to the land of Israel. And that when these things have come to pass, you will know that I am God, and I have kept my promise and was the one to free you and give you new life." Okay, so that's basically that chapter, that story. And it's a lot. But it's a story that paints a powerful message, specifically within this song we sing, that God does not abandon his people. And in fact, he cares so deeply. God can take a terrible situation with no hope and turn it into something beautiful and new. He can make dead things alive. And it's a key theme that we sing about in Graves into Gardens. Now, keep that in mind, because the second story is a little similar but very different too. This story comes from 2 Kings, and it's about another prophet. But this prophet is named Elisha, with an S. And in verse 20 in 2 Kings, it says, "Elisha died and was buried." Now, Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. And these were like raiders who robbed graves, they killed people, stole things. They were terrible people, evil, and people were scared of them. And once, while Israelites were burying a man, suddenly, they saw a band of these raiders. So they quickly threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb, and when the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up at his feet. So there are these people, right? They're just burying an Israelite body in this graveyard, and they see these terrifying Moabite raiders coming. So they quickly, just as fast as they can, they see this open tomb with Elisha. They don't care. They just toss the body in so they can get out of there. And the body comes to life when it touches Elisha's bones. Now, this is a specific scripture reference that is important to this song, but I think it's also important to understand maybe a little bit more who Elisha is in this moment too. So Elisha, as a younger man, learned how to become a prophet and follower of God from his mentor, who was named Elijah with a J. Very similar names, but different. Now, during Elisha's life, after his mentor had gone, God helped Elisha perform many miracles, from blessing the oil of a poor woman so that she could then fill many bottles and sell them to come out from under her debts. He blessed a woman and her husband to bear a child that they so desperately desired but couldn't have. And then, after a few years, that very same child became sick and died. And the woman, not knowing what else to do, sought Elisha once more. And with his blessing, the child breathed again and was alive. So Elisha, throughout his life, was a faithful servant of God who advised kings and leaders of Israel. But it still begs the question, why is his story, especially one where he's dying, a song, a part of this song? A song that we already know from this last verse that we've read is about faith and having faith in a God who can create life from death, make a way where there is no way. Okay, I guess I see the connection, but let's go back a couple verses and read what happened before Elisha was dead. And so in verse 14, Elisha was on his deathbed. And the king of Israel at the time came to him on the brink of war with the enemy of Israel. And he wept as Elijah lay dying. And so in verse 14 it says, "Now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. 'My father, he cried. the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elijah said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elijah put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elijah said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elijah declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. These were the enemies of Israel at a specific place. Then Elijah said, take the arrows. So the king took them. Elijah told him, strike the ground. So he struck it three times and stopped. And the man of God, Elijah, was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will only defeat it three times. And then Elijah passed away. And after being in a tomb for a while, we see in verse 20 that a man was brought back to life after being randomly thrown into this same tomb and touching his bones. Now, while we may read this now, especially in the context of this teaching, and say, wow, a dead man was brought back to life. It's a miracle. It's just like this first story. God takes these dead things and brings them back to life, right? And it's true, but this wasn't God's only intention with doing this. You see, God brought this man back to life to remind the king and the people of Israel what he had promised so long ago through Elisha, that they would be victorious and defeat the enemy. And if you continue reading in the next chapter, after some time had come to pass, you find that the Israelites defeated their enemies three times, recovering stolen land, homes, and loved ones. So in both these stories, in Ezekiel and 2 Kings, which are stories that are referenced directly in this song we're going to sing later, we see how God uses bones and a dead man. And I've stood up here talking about skeletons turning to people again, and talked about a holy man whose bones will bring back the dead. I've talked about bands that hopefully at least some of us know who they are, but probably have not heard of. All in hopes of trying to paint this picture, right, to what we sing about when we sing Graves into Gardens. What do the stories that we just looked at and talked about, the scripture that directly influences this song, tell us about who God is? So when Ezekiel and the people of Israel found themselves in captivity, in the valley of dry bones, God gave them a promise that it wasn't over, that he would make a way. When all seemed lost for the king of Israel and his mentor was dying, and they were facing Israel's enemies and he didn't know what to do, he was reminded years later, through a dead man falling on Elijah's bones and being raised to life, that God had made a promise and it wasn't over, that he could turn despair into hope. This is who God is. When Moses was leading Israelites from slavery and they faced a sea before them and their captors behind them, it wasn't over and God made a way. When Jesus hung on the cross and died and was buried in a tomb, it wasn't over. God didn't create an army from dry bones or raise a dead man back to life simply because he could, but he could. He did it to remind his people back then, and us today, that's who he is. He's a God who turns graves into gardens, who turns dry bones into armies. He's a God who turns seas into highways. He makes a way when we cannot see one, because that's who he is. And he's telling us today these things too. And through these stories, he's reminding us he does it for us. And he is the only one who can. Does that look familiar? Now, I said earlier that one reason I love this song is because of this. Like, this truth right here was something that I needed to latch on to in moments of my life where I was lost, anxious, or specifically in college when I was just wandering, it seemed like, and was depressed and had no idea what I was going to do with my life. I needed hope. And I needed to be reminded that in spite of where I was in that moment, that God could take those moments and what I was learning and experience and turning it into something beautiful. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe that's a season of life you find yourself in now or have experienced in the past too. And one, if you are there, you're not alone. But two, I hope tonight that this song, like it did for me multiple times, can maybe help reframe a little bit that just lost or saddened or depressed mindset we have, to maybe give us a little bit of hope that even though we can't see him, it can help us to maybe experience who God is in that moment, even when it's hard to. And so for the purposes of truly helping us to see just how intertwined scripture is with who God is within the music we sing, I chose this one specific song to help make that picture a little easier to understand, because it was powerful in my life and has impacted me deeply. But I also hope that we can maybe begin to see these connections, that they can be made, all of the promises and the truths about who God is can be found in all of the songs we sing. So I'm going to invite the band to come back up and pray. But before I do pray, I just want to encourage you, I think, and maybe to some of you it might look more like a challenge, I guess, but we're going to sing together a couple more songs, and one of them is going to be Graves into Gardens. And so if you're anything like me, sometimes currently, but especially little Dan going to church on a Sunday morning with his mom, you might still struggle at times to know how to find God within your everyday life and what that looks like, of how to seek him, whether it's struggling to read the Bible or how to experience what he's done in your life through prayers, or especially when you're in the midst of a trial, it's really hard. Our worship, these songs, can just be another avenue to experience that. And that as we continue to grow as people throughout our lives and followers of Jesus and still encounter trials and really hard moments in our life, I hope that we can also grow in our understanding of who God is and what he has done for us. And that tonight as we sing, but even as we go throughout our weeks and we end this semester, that we can continue to reflect on those truths in our lives and what they might mean for us right now, but even when we inevitably encounter those hard times too. So, will you pray with me, and then we'll worship together. God, thank you for this space that we can come and gather in the midst of anything that we're going through, hard times, joyful moments, God, and find community and friends, and just find a space where we can encounter you, whatever that looks like, because there's so many ways that you just desire to meet us, God. So I pray tonight as we sing these songs out together, maybe that's hard for some of us, but I just pray that you can give us the courage to maybe take that step forward and sing these words and truths out so that they can resonate within our souls, God, and help us to experience who you are and what you are doing in our lives. I'm just thankful for this community. It's in your Son's name we pray.